Welcome to the Health Science Coach Podcast. My name is Drew Garner. I am a health science and physical education teacher here at Turner High School. My objective is to provide information to students about different healthcare careers and explain how these professionals got to where they are in their careers. Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's dig in. Today we get the pleasure of meeting with Scott Guerrero. He is the program director of the STAR program at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Welcome, Scott. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. I'm really excited to talk to you about your STAR program you have over there, as well as some more of the financial aid stuff. So can you give us a little detail about your career and what it means to be a program director and what the STAR program is?
Sure. And thank you for having me. So the STAR program, STAR stands for Students Training in Academia, Health, and Research. And we have two major components of our program. The Scholars Program works with students that are interested in pursuing a health degree. This could be from the high school level, rising juniors and rising seniors is our current target population that we work with, or it can be undergraduate students, pre-health students, pre-med, pre-dent, pre-pharmacy, students essentially that are pre-health and need assistance or have questions that are interested in health. And so we essentially help them through programming in the summer. We do some one-on-one coaching through the fall and spring, and really provide resources and make them aware of any opportunities that are available to them. Our second component is our ambassador program, which is a mentorship program for current students in the field or at UMKC that are pursuing medicine, dentistry, or pharmacy. And so we provide one-on-one mentorship with practitioners and clinicians in the field for our current students. And so that's really a benefit to them as well as they continue to be educated in the field, but also just receive kind of some guidance because, you know, it's difficult trying to get a health degree, but it's been great, you know, so far, being able to work with the professionals as well as the students.
Absolutely. So with those mentorships, say a student's in your program and with a mentorship, what does that kind of look like and how they're paired with a mentor?
Sure. So for our current students, we look at their year in school. We look at kind of where they're from. We look at we also survey our mentors as to what types of students are comfortable mentoring. You know, kind of there we get a little bit of information about their background as well. And all of our mentors go through training, but we pair them based upon, you know, specialties. So, you know, if we know some of our students want to go into, you know, pulmonology, you know, we have, you know, some physicians that work in pulmonology at Children's Mercy. We kind of do that kind of pairing. You know, it's a great pairing for them. So we look at aspects like that. And then we have people on our team that work in the different schools. And so we also, you know, get their advice as well and their input.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So a little bit about your job and daily duties and that kind of stuff. What's a typical day in the life or week in the life of a STAR program director?
Sure. So just a little bit of I guess laying the foundation. So STAR is a pipeline program on the health sciences campus at UMKC. And right now I have about 12 individuals on the STAR team, the leadership team. And so that consists of professionals from the School of Medicine, School of Dentistry, and School of Pharmacy. So we particularly aren't necessarily tied to one school, but really the entire health sciences campus. Right. And so me as a director, I'm connecting with, you know, on a regular basis, on a week basis, weekly basis, or day-to-day basis, connecting with our coordinators who are on the ground level, reaching out to students, having meetings with students, kind of doing some of our promotional or marketing, you know, task to schools and different organizations in the community. And then working with, you know, our physicians in Children's Mercy or, you know, our research team, collecting data so that we can also report. We're completely grant funded. And so we do a lot of reporting as to, you know, where do students go once they graduate high school, who graduates from a health professional degree. And so there's a lot of reporting on that front as well. And so my day-to-day can change from having meetings, and I just came from a meeting now, to being in a, you know, on a task force that reaches out to the community to bring in, you know, additional partners or sponsors or bring in students to our programs. So it does change from day to day and week to week.
Yeah. And I know one of the things that we had talked about prior to was looking specifically at more of the Kansas City Metro type of student and trying to recruit them, you know, to come to a school inside of Kansas City. What can we talk about those, that type of outreach?
Yeah, so it's been, the last 2 years obviously have been difficult, where our outreach has kind of stalled because of COVID. But through that, we transitioned our programming to, you know, virtual platform, and we've actually had, we have had students from Arkansas, we had some from California, several from Texas. So being able to reach, you know, have a broader reach outside of the KC Metro was nice to kind of see what kind of interest is out there outside of the KC Metro area. But, you know, as we look towards the spring semester, we're wanting to expand our outreach to within the community. So within high schools, be at different events within the community, looking forward to also having a social media presence, an online presence, doing virtual info sessions, and something that really we haven't been in a position to do prior.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's jump into a little bit of your education and work experience. You know, you studied music and Spanish at Illinois State University. What kind of led you to want to study music?
Yeah, so I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. I grew up in the inner city of Chicago, and I also identify as Hispanic, and so I didn't grow up speaking the language. I learned everything I know right now. I learned on my own, or I learned in school. I'm just wanting to know more about my culture and my background. In terms of music, my family couldn't afford music lessons, but I started and. My dad's a pastor, and I grew up in the church, and so really just being drawn to music. But I started singing at the age of 6. But once again, we couldn't afford lessons, and so I was self-taught until I got to college and studied music. Yep. So I started playing piano at the age of 9. So I sing and play piano, and so everything I known up until that point was self-taught. But really had a passion for it. It was an outlet for me. It was a way that I could express, you know, myself at a young age. And then when I got to college, being able to fully study it was a very rewarding experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you choose Illinois State University to go to?
Great question. So I have 6 kids in my family, or 6, 5 siblings, so 6 kids. My mother didn't finish high school. My dad never went to college. And out of the 6 kids, I am a first generation student, but I'm the only one out of 6 kids that holds a bachelor's degree. And I went to college. I got to college because, you know, friends were doing it. I was a very involved student in high school. It was great to be an athlete. I played football and volleyball, but it was also great to be part of the National Honor Society, be part of musicals, be part of you know, different organizations, yearbook club, the newspaper, student council. So I did all those things. And just making those connections with students or my peers, you know, everyone, you know, most were going to college. And so I was, you know, what is college? I had these questions. I don't know what that is, but I sent in applications. And I actually applied to 6 different schools. But after visiting all of them, and for music, you have to do an audition. And so I auditioned at each of the schools, got into all of my schools, but there was just something off about each of them. You know, one of them was too big. One of them was 6 hours away. It was too far. One was completely out of my price range. And so Illinois State, I was awarded scholarship. It was about an hour and 15, hour and a half from home. And so it kind of just fell into place as being the right institution for me. And then, you know, having gone there, gotten my undergrad and master's, I wouldn't have traded that experience for anything. It's very rewarding and very joyful experience.
Yeah, absolutely. So you, while you were there getting your undergraduate, you were working as a minister of music at the university. And like you said, you went and stayed there for your master's as well. And for your master's, you have a master's degree in higher education, which led you kind of into being your next role as financial aid specialist for the university that you were getting your master's program work done through. What can you tell us about getting a master's in higher education and how you kind of chose a little different career path?
Sure. Yeah. You know, I always get the question, oh, you studied music. How did you end up here? You know, and I knew I loved music, and I also knew that I love working with people. And I didn't know, you know, having kind of no, being a first generation student, I didn't have anyone to say, hey, this is the right path for you, and or this is what you should kind of pursue. I thought, okay, well, teaching makes sense. And so I did that route and did student teaching, but I didn't end up going into teaching because, you know, I felt a little confined to the classroom. I wanted to be out, and, you know, my personality just felt like I needed to be in a larger setting. And so I actually also was a little scared. It was tough to kind of take on that first job right out of college. And yeah. So I had a mentor in the financial aid office who asked me about, hey, do you want a job as a financial aid specialist? And so I talked a little bit more, asked some questions, and took on that job. And when after I started that job, the university provided resources or, you know, tuition benefit if you were a staff member. And so I chose to pursue a master's degree in higher ed. And, you know, a lot of people ask, what is a higher ed master's degree program? You know, what does that mean? For me, I knew I was very involved in college. I was working several student jobs. I was, you know, I was a resident assistant, an RA for the res halls. I played club volleyball. I gave tours to prospective students as an ambassador. So I was just very involved on campus. And, you know, this new degree program or graduate degree program was essentially me being able to stay in college, being able to kind of help students also find their way. And so I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of going back to what you were talking about your parents, you know, being a first generation college student, how much involvement did they have helping you or letting you choose or decide what you were going to go to school and study and where to go?
Big fat zero. You know, and it's unfortunate, but it's also they don't know. You know, they were completely unaware. Both of my parents had jobs. You know, at one point my dad had two jobs, and it was just they weren't really involved in the process. And so my brother took me. Several of my brothers took me to my auditions. You know, or to my official visits to school, just because you know it wasn't necessarily an urgent thing or on my parents' radar because they've never had that experience. You know, and I, so yeah, a lot of it was navigating it on my own.
Yeah, and I feel like that kind of, as you navigated it on your own, and like you said, being super involved with your college life, you know, being that RA, being that financial aid specialist, working on campus, helping and being involved, you know, kind of goes inside with helping those other young students find what the benefits of, you know, the university was for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's primarily why I've enjoyed and why I still do work in higher ed is because, you know, I know what my experience was like as a, you know, a student without many resources or a student that is first generation, but being able to serve in a capacity where students ask questions or students need, you know, guidance or a little push here and there. That's very rewarding. It's very, it's a rewarding experience to see students start on a path and then reach their goals. And obviously there's a journey in between there, but it's something that I enjoy doing and something that I foresee myself doing for quite a while.
Yeah, absolutely. So you worked at Illinois State for 3 years as a financial specialist. How did you kind of make that jump to KU to be the assistant director of financial aid and scholarships?
Was looking for, you know, I was at that time once working there from when I started undergrad to when I stopped. I mean, I was there for about 8 years, and kind of just needed a change of pace. And so I was looking at, you know, at the time I was maybe 25, 26. And so just thinking, is it time for a change? Maybe a change of scenery, maybe a change in career. And so I actually, looked at a promotion job, and I got a job as the assistant director at the University of Kansas in Lawrence. But in conjunction with that, I also got a spot in the Lyric Opera Chorus in Kansas City, so being able to sing professionally as well, which was also a draw for me to be able to move just to a new, you know, new area, new city.
So speaking of scholars, what are some of the things, you know, high school juniors or seniors should be looking at when they're starting to apply for schools?
It is a complicated process, you know, and I, as they're applying for schools, you know, I would look at, you know, the overall dollar price. You know, when I was giving presentations, you know, even for my professional college students, I would ask, how many of you know how much your education cost? And it was always less than 20%, less than 10% of students knew how much college actually cost. You know, if a student wants to get a degree, wants to pursue something that they're really passionate about, we'll find a school that does that, and then look at the actual dollar figure, because, you know, the two most important things right now, I would say, for seeking out or pursuing colleges, does it have your degree program, or, you know, what you're passionate about, and what's the price tag? Can you afford it? Because if you can't afford it, if it doesn't have your degree, why would you go there? You know, when I was working at KU, some students were like, well, I like the basketball team. You're not on the basketball team. Why are you at KU if it doesn't have your degree program? You know, if it doesn't have XYZ. So that, you know, and then actually having, you know, a real conversation with someone on campus. You know, I like to have real conversations with students I meet with, to say, you know, can you afford this? How are you going to pay for this? Here's how we can make it work. Here are some resources for you. But, you know, if this isn't it, how dedicated are you to creating a plan to get to where you want to be? So for students, for juniors and seniors, I would say know all the information, do your research. No one's going to be doing it for you. You know, just like myself, I had to navigate the system myself. So don't be afraid to ask questions. But do your research, because at the end of the day, it's you yourself that's getting that education, no one else.
So I was lucky enough to play college baseball. And when I was being recruited, you know, scholarship monies were talked about, and you get X amount or Y amount for different schools. And, you know, the private Catholic school that offered me a chunk of money also costed four times as much, or five, 10 times as much probably, as the junior college that only offered tuition. Mm-hmm. So when students are looking at scholarships that they're applying for, or maybe that they've been awarded for academics or sports or music, whatever, how does the percentage of, I guess, total dollars versus scholarship dollars, how does that kind of play out when you're looking at school A, B, or C?
Sure. So first, I would encourage students to apply everywhere. You know, I had coming into college, I had scholarships from just random places. I think I had a scholarship from this state senator's office, which, you know, most may not think to apply for, but I saw something. I was like, you know, are you this? Are you looking for this? Is your GPA this? And so I applied, and I was, I think, one of five or six recipients of that award. I had a private, I had some high school scholarships. I had an academic scholarship, but it was me putting myself out there to do that. And, you know, students, you know, once again, free money isn't just going to land it in your lap. Some of them are merit-based. So, you know, you apply to, you know, if you apply to UMKC and you have a certain GPA, a certain test score, and you apply on time, you can have an automatic scholarship. That's great, but those usually don't cover your total cost.
Right.
So I would encourage students to apply for as many scholarships as possible. And after your fifth, sixth scholarship, you're now just tweaking essays because, you know, you've already written an essay on leadership or your involvement or where do you see yourself in 10 years. And so now it's just tweaking to fit that scholarship. To answer your question, once you have all the information, you know where you want to go, lay everything out on the table. See what the total cost is. Lay out your scholarships and see, okay, what's my bottom line? What do I owe now after everything's applied, after all my scholarships are kind of in place? Do you want to be in debt for, you know, with student loans or private loans? That's a real question or conversation to have. So I would encourage students to kind of look at that. If they don't understand, then ask questions. They can contact any financial aid office to also ask questions and receive some support.
Yeah, that's good to know. So you stayed at K for 3 years, and then moved to UMKC as a senior assistant director and for financial aid and scholarships. Talk a little bit about that change and movement.
Yeah, a lot of that was for professional reasons. One, I missed the city. So I was living in Lawrence for a great traditional college town. But coming from Chicago, yeah, I definitely missed the city atmosphere. So I wanted that, and more opportunity. But the change in position was also a very professional one. I took a position that was, I oversaw all financial aid for the health sciences campus. Versus working in a specific office for the, you know, with a bunch of other people. But I was the main contact person, the main presenter. I did all the awarding and budgeting and all that for a lot of our award programs. And so just more responsibility, more experience. I was also managing staff at that point. So it was just a great step up or move up for me from a professional standpoint.
And while you were there, you were able to get another degree as well. Let's talk a little bit about that and how you kind of chose to, you know, continue your education.
Yeah. UMKC and what's great about working at a institution is there are benefits such as, you know, the amount of paid time we get time off we get, but also the benefit of being able to go back to school and further continue education. So I had some tuition benefit from UMKC, and I chose to get my MBA, my master's in business administration. It was something that I hesitated for a little bit because of my background in education, but I'm so glad that I've done that because it teaches you, education is one aspect or one kind of lens in the world. Business kind of seeps into every other part of life. And I feel like, you know, from whether it's from a financial standpoint, a manufacturing or production standpoint, just networking, looking at, various aspects within business, it was a very good experience for me. And it's something that, you know, I've also thought about what I want to do later on in my career. I've thought about starting my own nonprofit one day and being able to kind of have that be more, you know, how do I want to serve the community? And how do I want to stay and work in this community? So that's something that, you know, I'll definitely venture into in the years to come.
Yeah, that's good. So then while you were there, you kind of transitioned now to your new role of the STAR program. How did that transition work out, and how did you look into getting to be involved with the STAR?
Sure. So, having been at this point, I'm at now UMKC for about 4 years or so. And then once again, I was working and I was in the schools, I was all in all the professional health, the health professional schools. And so really just making connections, doing my job, doing good work. And when this position became open, it was actually a new position. The assistant dean and director of admissions for the School of Medicine, who was the PI or oversaw the grant, sought me out just because, you know, hey, I think that you have the skill set for this. I think you also, you know, with your background and just knowing what you've done with financial aid, I think that you can also work with, you know, on the grant administration side. And so it was, I would say, partly of what I, you know, who you know kind of helps you in this situation. But also I'm proud to say that my work kind of spoke for me in terms of, yeah, I was happy about the job that I was doing. And after 4 years, you know, it was also time for me to make a change as well.
So knowing all the people that you know, can you talk a little bit about the different programs that UMKC has to offer at your school?
Like, you mean from an academic standpoint or from like majors? I'll start with the, I guess, health sciences campus. So we have four health sciences schools. We have the School of Medicine, School of Dentistry, School of Pharmacy, and School of Nursing and Health Sciences. And within those schools, there are different academic programs. You know, for medicine, you could do the MD route. You could do the physician assistant or anesthesiologist assistant. There's bioinformatics, there's health education. So, you know, there's different programs within each school. And so, and what's great is that, you know, all of our schools here have direct connection to the hospitals. I mean, we're on Hospital Hill here in Kansas City. And so you're connected to Children's Mercy, to Truman Medical Center or University Health now. You're connected to St. Luke's. And so there's just a lot of opportunity here and further education for our students. So that's on our health sciences campus. And then we also have the Volcker campus, which is further, a little 15 minutes south of here. And they have, you know, anything from, we have the conservatory for music, dance, and theater. We have education, we have the School of Business. There is the, Computer and Engineering School. We have law school. There's your either main programs or some of your traditional programs as well that you can find on a regular campus.
What are some, this is just kind of going off different, but what are some misconceptions people might have about working in higher education?
So from a staff point, everyone assumes, I work at UMKC. Oh, what do you teach? So not everyone teaches. Yeah. You know, although I love to instruct and teach, and I also coach on the side, I coach volleyball, but, you know, not everyone's a faculty or teacher or professor. So there's that. And I wish this one was true of, you know, oh, so you have the summers off, or, you know, you have the same days off as, you know, the public school systems. Right. That's not the case. You know, that would be nice, but that's not the case.
Absolutely.
So throughout your career, what's next? You broke up a little bit. Can you repeat that?
Throughout your career, what's something that you're most proud of accomplishing professionally?
So I'm proud of, and I'm thinking of certain examples or instances, and there's been moments where, you know, I've been caught off guard, or, you know, in my work, but you know, for instance, when I was working in financial aid, you know, I remember vividly the conversation with a student. It was about his FAFSA or filling something out, and he had said something, you know, hey, I need more money, and it was just, you know, there's FAFSA and financial aid is very regulated. You know, the government says, hey, you're going to have this, you know, so it's very, you know, there's rules to everything. But he essentially needed money because he was living in College Town, and his mother was coming to live with him because she was being evicted from her house, you know. And in that moment, I just remember, I remember feeling and empathizing with that student because it caught me off guard. It was something that, you know, our students go through a lot more than what we see on the surface level. You know, they go through a lot more than what they always express to us. Something I'm proud of, though, is, you know, like in that example, is, you know, I felt for that student. I wanted to help them. I did everything I could to help that student specifically. And so I'm proud to say that I still do the work I still do is centered and student focused, you know? And I think that once it changes, or once I no longer kind of have a reaction or kind of feel for students' experiences outside the classroom, then I think it's, you know, it's time for a change. It's time for me to do something else. But, you know, I still strive to be very student focused and student centered on the support and the help that I provide to them.
Absolutely. That's pretty good. Jim, anything you regret not doing yet professionally?
Professionally or not, like not as a student? I would like to do, and I have, and especially now I have every, opportunity. I wish that I would do more professional development opportunities, or more networking with, you know, just institutions outside of the KC area. Because, you know, I have to imagine that, and there are other institutions that are doing similar work to what I'm doing. There's just a lot of learning too that are out, that can be outside of the UMKC walls. And so it's just making time for it. It's setting time aside. And the moment you do that, you know, work starts to pile up on this side. And so it's just, it takes a lot of energy as well as space to be able to do something like that. I think also, I do have aspirations to get my doctorate degree. And so it's not so much as a regret as I'm just, you know, I guess I'm waiting for the right time or a good time in life to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And professional development was going to be one of my next questions. You know, working in higher education, not as a professor, but what kind of professional development do you need to do? Like as a teacher myself, you know, we have specific professional development days built into our schedule. And then as a teacher, you know, I'm always reading about different types of, I don't know, swimming workouts or gym games or that kind of stuff outside of school. What kind of professional development do you work on that may help you with, say, the STAR programs?
Sure. Coming at this from two angles, I guess. One, where I'm attending, you know, there's conferences and, you know, of late there's, you know, webinars to attend on, you know, health disparities within America or health disparities within, you know, the metropolitan area, something like that, where it's very concentrated or focused on, you know, specific aspect of health or my job. When I was in financial aid, there was same conferences every year, just about new regulations, a way for you to ask questions, a way for you to network and meet other people. And then from the other angle is being able to present some of the data that we collect, being able to present some of the work that we're doing. And so this past April, May, I presented at the AAMC conference for our mentoring program. Really, it was a service presentation on, you know, basically how we're doing what we're doing and why, you know, and showing, you know, with our population of students, and we primarily serve students that are, you know, from disadvantaged backgrounds, whether that's economically or education disadvantaged, they're URM students, so underrepresented minority students. And so being able to say, hey, we have an 80% retention rate, which is fairly high, especially for those students that are attending, you know, medical school or pharmacy dental school. And so there's opportunity to do professional development, just once again, making time for it.
So you kind of touched on this one a little bit earlier, but career goals, where do you see yourself, you know, maybe 5 to 10 years down the road from now?
I do have aspirations to start a nonprofit. I would like to start a program, kind of a get back on your feet program, focusing on housing or, you know, for homelessness and food insecurity, so being able to help homelessness and hunger within the KC area.
Yeah, that's really cool. Something that probably would be very beneficial for the area down by where you are. as far as information, like looking back, what's something that you wish you would have known about, you know, as in high school or early on in college that would help you professionally with your career now?
And this may have changed my career path, or opened up my eyes a little bit more. But I wish I would have known that just really how much opportunity is out there, even at the high school level. You know, I applied to and attended the schools that my friends were going to. I didn't do, you know, I didn't have the know-how to research on my own to be able to. You know, look at a college's website and say, okay, hey, what do they have to offer? I didn't know how to ask for help at that time because, you know, it was just very foreign. I also didn't have a cell phone at the time, and now everyone does. So people, I mean, you can look up, you know, a website on your phone, but I didn't have one at the time when I was a sophomore, junior in high school. And so I wish I knew how to kind of have my own agency in the college search process, rather than, you know, following in others' footsteps, which I'm glad I did, but I think that would have definitely changed my trajectory.
Yeah. And this kind of goes into that next type of questions. What advice do you have for high school students that are interested in getting into maybe a healthcare profession?
I would say that it's going to be hard work, and in most cases, it's a long journey to becoming a health professional student, or a health professional. But if that is what you want to do, or if you're curious but not sure, then I would say ask questions and get involved. So there's ways for you to, you know, have shadowing experiences to see if this is if this is something you're interested in. You could get in a lab as a high school student, especially here on campus, and say, hey, do I want to do research? Do I want to be connected to this field? You know, you can get jobs that are very connected to or close in proximity to, you know, health professionals. You know, students that work as farm techs or students that work in a doctor's office. I mean, being able to put yourself in those situations that help answer some of those questions for you. And then also doing some of the research on your own. You know, there's ways also to kind of find out that information. At the very least, come to our office, come on a visit day, come explore if you haven't done that already. You know, and we'll do the best we can to kind of help show you, help tell you more about, you know, the profession.
Right. And then advice for a college undergraduate student that is, you know, maybe a sophomore, junior in college that has started taking their undergraduate classes, and they've kind of done the English and science and math classes, but now they realize that they are interested in becoming a nurse or applying for dentistry school. What's some advice you would have for that kind of student?
Yeah, so one, grades matter. And I know hey, someone, I want to be an accountant, and I just got to pass everything. Your GPA matters for your test scores matter for you trying to become an MD or you trying to become a dentist or a pharmacist. So my first piece of advice would be to excel in the classroom and not to slack off. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. There's definitely balance to everything, but start off on the right foot and have a good GPA. And with that, know what the admission requirements are so you can also kind of set goals for yourself. And then similar to high school, I would say go explore. You know, we don't, and like anyone, we don't want doctors that don't want to be doctors. You know, you don't want to go to someone's office that doesn't want to be there, but they're there for a paycheck or something. Do you enjoy helping people? Do you enjoy working in teams? Do you enjoy that setting, you know? And that's something you have to answer for yourself. So if it's career pathways analysis as to, you know, or surveys as to what kind of profession do I want to go into, you know, you have that access. And I think high school students can do that as well. But at least start somewhere.
So after they've graduated, or maybe, you know, right before they're getting ready to graduate, somebody that's looking for a job, say one of those students that you work with your mentorship program, you know, they're getting close to graduation, a couple months away, or have just graduated. What kind of advice would you have for somebody looking for a job upon graduation?
Are you talking about for high school or for undergrad?
Undergrad, sorry, yeah.
And they're not in the profession, they're not in a professional program right now, or they are?
They are, yeah. They're getting ready to be a nurse, or, you know, finish their nursing certification type stuff, or finish dentistry school, and they're looking to get out into the real world and start applying for jobs.
Yeah. So, you know, some of our students go into residency and they get to pick kind of a specialty or area in which they go into residency, or some of them go to, you know, work. And many of our students are on student loans. And so depending upon their situation, you know, that conversation may change. But from a financial aspect, I like to let them know, hey, your income is going to change from this to this. You know, be smart with your money, pay your bills on time, be responsible. Student loans are going to be there. And so be smart. There are programs to help you pay those off. You know, for instance, working in a underserved area may help, you know, cover 2 years of your loans, for example. Yeah. There are programs like that. But students don't know about that because they don't ask questions, or they hear about it and they think, well, I don't want to write that essay, or I don't want to do the work for that. I mean, you're talking about, in some cases, $50,000 that's just writing off because you got to work somewhere 2 years. But if they're looking for a job, and, you know, let's say it's not financial related, giving back or doing something for the community is very rewarding. And so trying to talk our students or share with them the benefits of working in a rural community, being able to provide access to care in a rural community, working in lower impoverished areas, kind of those underserved areas that I think they can do a lot of good in. And that's something I would recommend, and we have those conversations as well.
Yeah, that's really cool. And then next kind of goes into, you know, as someone that has graduated and maybe completed the residency, they're 3 to 6 months out of being all done with school and having their job and being all grown up, I guess you could say. Some advice you have for them as to, you know, work related, what they should be doing and trying to learn more or develop themselves as a young professional.
Yeah. So, you know, being responsible, paying bills on time, but, you know, because of the students we serve, I would say my first thing is to pay it forward, to pay it back. We now have, it's so beautiful to see, we have students that were in our mentorship program, have graduated, have now jobs, and now they're serving as mentors in our program. And it's just awesome to see, you know, them knowing the experience and acknowledging the experience that they had. It was an enjoyable one. And so now they want to mentor new students in our program. And that's just great because it also helps them professionally be a mentor. It helps them, you know, kind of rise to the occasion, work within a team, work within in a team aspect or team setting. And so that's something that I would encourage everyone to do. If you haven't been a mentor before, that's something that, you know, everyone should have an opportunity to do.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, like you said, paying it back and giving back what you were able to receive is something that I think definitely helps out and helps you grow as a professional. Do you have any books that you might recommend that you've read that kind of helped you along your career path professionally, or would help a high school kid kind of help them figure out what is the right career path?
Sure. So if we're talking health related, so we recently read a book through the pandemic with our students, and this was in place of some of the on-site shadowing and clinical observations. Henrietta Lacks, that book of how, you know, one person's cells have changed the course of medicine or history and research for the entire, as we see it today, seeing one person's impact. And it was, 40s, 50s, and seeing how really she had no agency over her own body. That before some of these policies and these medical laws and regulations were in place, them just being able to take cells from her body, her data, her samples, everything, and use them without her consent, and not have the family themselves reap any benefit from it. So it's very interesting to see that kind of impact. And now that there's things in place, obviously, that's not the case. Anywhere you go, patients now have the final say as to what happens to them, but that wasn't the case. And so just kind of seeing a very different world from the health perspective was very interesting. And so if someone's interested in health, I mean, they can watch the movie, they can read that book. It'd be very rewarding for them.
And then, do you have any other information you'd like to share about UMKC or the STAR program that will help students kind of navigate through their career path?
Yeah, so, and I'm happy to send you these links via email. I can put them in the chat. But so one, our scholars program, our application that starts in the summer is now open. Our deadline right now is February 1st. This is for students, once again, that either know they want to be a health professional or they're kind of interested and want to kind of explore a little bit more. Students to come into the summer for 6 weeks. We have sessions each day. It'll be a hybrid, so majority of it will be virtual, but students will also have the opportunity to come on campus to take tours of the buildings. They'll be able to go into some of our hospital settings as well. There's ACT prep that we're providing as well, leadership and professional development for students, and then identity kind of development and exploration, in addition to all the health sessions that they'll receive. So that application is open right now.
This only age group wise, what age is this for? Or class wise?
This is for rising junior, seniors, and up. So any pre-health students, so undergraduate, and then any rising juniors and seniors. Yeah, and there's stipends associated with all of our programs. So students that successfully complete a program, will receive a stipend as well. And so the second link is our students and high school and undergrad students just sharing what the program has meant to them. So students can read, your students could read on what the program has meant. And so happy to share that with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll post those in the form below the podcast. Well, Scott, thank you so much for spending this time with us and teaching us about UMKC and what all you have to offer as far as information about financial aid and the healthcare professions that you have available there. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And once again, happy to answer any questions that you or your students have. I'm happy to meet one-on-one or in a group setting. So just let me know, reach out. But thank you for your time, and I really appreciate it.